El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Funny is her sister. Welcome to the show.
Your mom.
All right. So anyway, welcome to our program. We're here every night, Monday through Friday, as I mentioned, till 1 on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're at philhendryshow.com with live streaming video of the show. You can watch a video cast, Phil TV in HD, thousands of hours of downloadable shows going back over a decade, thousands of hours of just about everything. We have video there as well. We've got TV pilots that we did that were not accepted by the network because they were substandard. They sucked. And however, we'd like you to watch them anyway. Well, you know, they're pretty good. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Well, on and I wanted to share this with you guys. By the way, later on tonight, we're going to give away a couple of shot glasses, the Phil Hendry Show official shot glass, which, for those of you who are watching the video cast, you can go over and take a look at our shot glass in our souvenir shop. But it is summertime, and we have to get people ready for the, you know, the margarita party, so we're going to give those away later on in the program. This past Saturday was a very significant day for myself and for very close friends of mine. And I want to just mention a little bit of this to you because it was, I was just talking to Dan about it and to Bud and Robert. My very dear friend Paul Compton died in 2007. He took his own life. And it was, you can imagine, not only a shock for myself and friends of his, but his family, his wife and two children were devastated. So ever since that very sad day, his friends have gathered, myself, one of them, and I'm very fortunate to count myself among Paul's friends. We gather for the odd celebration of his life, and there were a lot of things that Paul liked. He loved basketball, loved the Lakers. He loved playing basketball, and he loved coaching it. He coached basketball and baseball for his kids and other kids. And he loved a good card game. And I can still remember hearing his voice. It's kind of weird to know you'll never hear someone, you know, you'll never hear somebody's voice again. But I can still remember him calling me up and saying, "Hey, Phil, we got a card game. Do you want to play?" So on Saturday, we had our Paul Compton Memorial Poker Tournament, the details of which are on our homepage if you want to go take a look. You don't need a subscription to look at the. We've got a very nice story written there by Doug Baldwin. Entitled Compton Moon. As you know, there was a super moon this weekend. So it was all sort of very synchronistic as we sat there and we were out on the patio at DJ's house there and everybody was smoking cigars and it was kind of nice because you don't want to smoke inside the house and meanwhile there's this big moon and we're playing in honor of Paul. And Joe, Don's son, won the tournament. It was a Texas Hold'em. If you've watched any of the poker tournaments on television, you probably have some familiarity with the format. And we played that format, although, as I mentioned to you guys on Saturday, you know, I grew up playing all different kinds of poker. But nonetheless, we had a winner-take. We actually didn't have a winner-take-all, but we had first and second place. And first place won a few, you know, like, I don't know, a bunch of money. And second place won a second larger bunch of money. And the winner was Don's son, Joe, who was also coached by Paul. It was funny because he said to me, I said to Joe, who's maybe 21, 22 years old, you know, make sure, man, that you have that trophy in your apartment in a prominent place so I may come over or any of us may want to come over and hang out and drink a beer, and I want to see that trophy. He goes, don't worry. He says, I'm going to put this because he said, you know, my grandparents died before I was born. He says, I really didn't have a chance to know my grandparents. My grandmother was very, very sick. He said, but besides my uncles and my father, he said, I knew Paul. He coached me in basketball. He coached me in baseball. He coached, you know, Adam, his own son, and Lindsay, his daughter. And he says, I knew him. He was a big factor in my life as a kid. He says, so don't worry. You're going to see that trophy when you come visit. And we also watched the Derby. Congratulations to I'll Have Another. And this young jockey out of nowhere. And just for a moment, indulge me, folks, because I come from Arcadia, California. And that doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot to anybody, really, even people from Arcadia. But there are a couple things that those of us who come from Arcadia, California, share in. And one of them is that big plant that sits in the middle of our town called Santa Anita Racetrack. And if you grew up in Arcadia, you could not avoid riding your bike by it, driving your car by it. In fact, I learned how to drive in the parking lot of Santa Anita Racetrack, as did a lot of kids in Arcadia, California. During the off season, it's one big, fat, empty space, and dads and moms take the kids over there and teach them how to drive. So horse racing was a very big part of my life. I mean, even if you didn't like horse racing, you couldn't help but hear the PA announcer from Santa Anita on a Saturday, especially during the stakes races, calling out the horses as they were coming down the stretch and listening to the roar of, you know, of the crowd. So we did gather to watch the Kentucky Derby. And we have who on the line?
David on.
David G. Hall joining us, who's the Vice President of Syndication tonight. David, how are you doing?
Philip, I'm doing very well, and I want to thank you for bringing up, and I know it's got to hurt, bringing up the poker tournament that you and your friends played in honor of your friend Paul. And I just found you talking about it very compelling, and I found it to be a very interesting story, a human story, a story of friendship, and certainly, Phil, a story of the greatest drama in life, and that is life itself and death. Life and death are the dramatic turns, you know, and I want to thank you for...
Well, you know, you got to share these things with people.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what talk radio is about. You know, talk radio to me is bringing to the radio some things that are... You try to be as compelling as you can.
Well, I agree with you. And we were listening, and I know that Bud told me that you had a couple of things you're going to do in the hour.
Well, yeah, we got... I did have a guest lined up. Dr. Sadler was lined up to talk about kids abusing painkillers.
Right, and I did talk to Dr. Sadler, and he is... on the other line right now, Bud?
Yeah,
he's on... Dr. Sadler and I were discussing, continuing with you talking about your friend Paul and getting into some of the specifics. I know that you say he committed suicide.
That's correct.
And I think it would be very... I think it would be very helpful to a lot of people listening tonight, Phil, and I think it would be interesting... to hear more about that.
Yeah, it's the only problem is it's a little, it's, how do I say this? A little painful.
Right. No, I understand it. And these are the things that we as performers and as broadcasters, we got to work through a lot of this, you know. So I would hope that you can do that, because I think you've got a good hour here with talking about Paul. Get into, I think the audience would like to know how it is he died.
It's very painful for me to talk about. I don't particularly want to.
I understand. But sometimes we got to do what we don't want to do. And you have, you got an opportunity here, Phil. What I want you to do is I want to frame this in terms of an opportunity.
Okay, I mean...
Frame it in terms of an opportunity to talk about something very compelling and very, very... I gotta say, very interesting, compelling, and emotional. The other thing that I think is you need to realize, females, the female listener is a very transient listener when it comes to talk radio. Women do listen to talk radio, but not as... they are not as devoted and committed to talk radio as men. And I think the reason for that is because there isn't really enough of the human. When we talk about the human element, the human topics, you know. And so I want you to talk about this because it's going to get women listening.
I understand, David, and any other topic I'd be happy to. I worry, though, that this is, it's a little exploitive of this man.
Well, were you just at a poker tournament for him?
Yes, I was.
And were you just talking about it?
Of course I was.
All right, then why not continue? And we'll bring in Dr. Sadler, and he can... You say it's painful. I understand. But let's work through this.
Well, I mean, I appreciate you wanting to help me. I'm fine.
Well, yes, I do want to help you, but understand it's also the... This is a far more interesting topic than anything you could do. There's real... This is a good topic because it's about suicide and it's death. And when you come back, you need to get into how he died.
No, I don't want to do that, okay? I don't want to do that, David. I'm not going to get into how... I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Well, there's no point in coming on the air then and telling people what happened without saying how. Why did you tell people what happened?
I wanted to let people in on a little bit of a celebration that we were having for him.
Yeah, but you went ahead and you told everybody what happened. Now they want to know how. Okay?
Well, it may be.
But that's too bad for them? Jesus. Yeah.
No, it's not too bad for them. I just don't really feel like talking about this. Okay?
You don't feel like talking about it, but it's very interesting, especially if you will get into how the guy died. I know he's your friend. I don't want to disrespect him. But I also see an opportunity to drive listeners to your show. You understand what I'm saying?
I have to take a break here. We can talk about it during the break, okay?
All right, we'll talk about it during the break.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Hey, but here's an idea. People could call if they think it's a good idea or if they think it's a bad idea. They call and talk to you. And I really don't want to hear from people who think it's a bad idea because it's a good idea, but maybe they have ideas on how to do it.
No, I don't think that's a good idea either, you know.
You're just saying no.
Pretty much, yeah.
No, we got to talk about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with David G. Hall and more, and Jim Sadler, I think, is online, but okay. Dr. Jim Sadler will be up here in a moment with us. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
All right, hold on for a minute. David G. Hall is with us, and we're going to get Dr. Jim Sadler in here for a moment, and we're talking about the passing, not just the passing of my friend Paul. You know, it's been almost five years. You understand that, right?
I know that, but you had this poker tournament.
Right. The poker tournament was in memorial to him, and it was something that we did as a way of honoring his life.
No, people, the people that listen to talk radio, let's face it, Phil, you know, we want to have details. I understand he was a friend of yours, but you're not getting into how the man died. Now, I know what you're saying. I know you're saying that, you know, you want to protect his, you want to protect his family, you want to protect him.
Yeah, absolutely I do.
And I understand that. Talk radio right now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the internet is cutting into not only television, it's cutting into radio. You know, and talk radio is, we're losing share. We're losing market share, and we need something here.
Well, I'm not losing any market share. Maybe the rest of the format is.
Well, okay, but what I'm asking is, can you give us some detail on how he committed suicide?
Why?
Because it's going to draw people, if the listeners... Women especially like talking about intrapersonal issues. And when you talk about a man who committed suicide, you're talking about something that women are going to be interested in because of the interpersonal.
I understand that, and I understand that it has more to do with the heart than the head. Men are up in the head, women are in the heart. I get it. All right, I understand that.
Then why are you not, but you have to, if you talk about a man committing suicide, you've got to give some detail, because women are going to, not only do they want to talk about what's happening in the heart, but they also need to have some of that detail. It gives, I don't know why.
Well, it's not going to happen, I'm not going to do it, so forget it, okay?
God, what an ass.
If you got Dr. Sadler there?
What?
If you've got Dr. Sadler there?
Yeah, we do. But I want Dr. Sadler up on the other line here so we can get.
Hey, Jim, are you there?
Hi, Phil. Yeah.
Okay, are you listening to this?
Hold on. I want to say something. Dr. Sadler, it's David G. Hall.
David, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, but I'm arguing with Phil here about this friend of his who committed suicide. They had a memorial poker tournament for him.
Right.
And Phil did a very nice job at the beginning of the show talking about his friend, talking about how he had, committed suicide. Now, as you know, Dr. Sadler, that's a very compelling issue.
Let me say something to Phil. Are you there?
I'm right here.
All right. What you did, and I think what David is trying to say, is that you gave them the entree and you're not delivering the entree. You gave them the hors d'oeuvre or the cracker, but you're not giving them the dinner. When you say that a friend of yours, committed suicide and that you are having a poker tournament for him, you're talking about love and friendship, and that's something people really want to hear more about, and as David said, especially women. When you don't follow up with detail on, how he committed suicide, you're not feeding the soul of your primary listener, which is the female or people who are interested.
When I don't give detail?
Hold on, let me just finish here.
No, you're not giving the details.
Hold on, let me finish.
I'm just talking about the details that he didn't get.
Let me finish. Let me talk to Phil.
Can't you?
Let me finish. Let me talk.
Let Dr. Sadler talk.
Yeah, I know, but he's not saying anything.
I'm sorry?
You're not saying anything. You're...
Excuse me, David. I think I am. I'm saying... Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor of psychiatry.
No, you're not.
I'm a doctor of psychology, all right?
Well...
Excuse me? Who is this ass?
It's David G. Hall. He's the program director.
Boy, that really irks me. You don't think I'm a doctor of psychology?
I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of these doctors.
Can we talk about that later? You guys have taken up valuable time on my show to talk about this.
You know, this guy is I'm just saying, if
this guy, are you talking to me, right? This guy?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Dr. Sadler, all I want to know is, why won't Phil Henry get into some of the details of how his friend committed suicide? I know it's painful for him.
I think we need to acknowledge that. And I think that's what Phil is missing here. If I acknowledge to you, Phil, that it's painful for you, would that free you? Would that free you to feel more comfortable with me as your friend to tell me about the details of the suicide?
No, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't. And why is that? Is there something that you're walking away?
It's not appropriate to share on the air. I don't care what anybody says. I've let out enough as to the specifics of his death and the reason why we had the poker tournament.
No, but you're not listening to me. I'm giving you permission now because I'm saying that I acknowledge the pain.
Yeah, he's acknowledging your pain and giving you permission to go ahead and say it.
If you don't mind, Mr. Hall, I can do it. Okay, Phil?
Yeah, I know, but I don't really need permission.
I think you do, because that's what I'm hearing.
No, I really don't need permission, because, Dr. Sadler, I'm not comfortable talking to you about these things, let alone my audience, because...
Why don't you, Phil? Tell me about that. Why don't you?
Because you sound very... it's uncomfortable for me to talk to you.
What does that mean?
What are you talking about?
Well, you have the, obviously...
You talking about my speech impediment?
No, it isn't the speech impediment.
Yes, it is. It's a speech impediment.
What are you talking about, Phil?
No, it's not a speech impediment. He has a rather...
it's not my speech impediment. What is it?
It's a very... It's you're very effeminate in the way that you talk.
Oh, man. You say to me?
You're very effeminate in the way that you talk. It's difficult for me to feel comfortable
Okay, so, in other words, I came on your program.
Hold on for a minute, okay?
Oh, so you're going to put me on...
Hold, yes, I have to. 877-876-7445. Why aren't I talking about the specifics of my friend's death, the friend that we honored this past weekend? Because I don't feel comfortable. And David G. Hall would like me to, because it would mean a lot for the ratings. Isn't that... And I don't mind doing things for ratings. I don't mind doing disgusting things for ratings. But not this. Not this. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Videocast, and when you do that, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
All right, David G. Hall and Dr. Jim Sadler have joined us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue to talk this evening. I did not anticipate this. I don't mind, but it feels as if I'm being pressured into this, David.
I'm trying to tell you, Phil, that we've got an opportunity here to gain audience at a time when the spoken word format, talk radio, is really suffering. Now, you know, the Obama this and Obama that and Obama something else, and now you come along with a friend of yours that committed suicide and you don't want to give the detail. I understand how you feel. I understand. Now, you just said to Dr. Sadler something that I think has upset him, and that is that you're not comfortable talking to him because he sounds effeminate.
I will tell you, Phil, I've done an awful lot of work on suicide prevention, suicide hotlines, and I've heard a lot of tales, but I've never, ever had anyone that I was trying to help call me what you called me.
I didn't call you anything, sir.
You most certainly did. You said that I sounded effeminate.
You asked me why I'm not being candid with you.
You could have been candid with him for the sake of the radio show. For the sake of the show, you could have been candid. But you want to instead go. Here's the honest route you want to go. Instead of telling us the details of your friend's death, which I understand is hurtful, but it would have been less hurtful because your friend is... You know, is a dead guy, and Dr. Sadler is living. So you said to Dr. Sadler, he's effeminate. Well, your friend, you don't want to offend, and he's not.
You use the word. We'll use a colloquial, and it's ugly. But there's the term dirt nap, and yeah, dirt nap.
Dirt nap, huh? My friend, huh?
You called me effeminate.
I called you effeminate. You're still here.
That's exactly the point, Phil. That's exactly the point. You called a guy that's still here effeminate.
And you're talking about the memory of my friend, okay?
The memory? What are you talking about?
I don't like anybody being referred to that way, anyone who's passed on, particularly somebody who's a friend of mine. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dustin. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Dustin.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
I lost my mom to the same thing, and you know, I just think it's incredible that you have these two people on here. You know, the doctor, I wouldn't feel comfortable talking to you either. It creeps me out to put it in that.
You're really opinionated for a guy. He's only been on a few minutes. Why do you have such negative opinions?
Well,
I doubt seriously if your mother committed suicide.
Why would you say that?
I don't know if I should say it on the air, but I can't believe you're even saying that right now. You know, and I can't believe you two right now. You know, you got
I
one
can't believe you saying, oh, you know, it just so happens, memory, Phil. It just so happens my mother killed herself,
away,
Phil.
And
whoa.
Bring out
hold on.
She passed away. I know,
right.
Hell, I wouldn't want to talk about my mom passing, how she passed away. You know, it's just sickening. It's sick.
How did she die? How did your mother die?
Don't ask him that. He doesn't want to tell you that.
Why not?
I'm not going to get into that.
Here's the thing. This is what I'm trying to say, Dustin. Phil Hendry has a radio show, and he has an obligation to make it compelling and interesting.
It doesn't mean that I trot out all the ghoulish aspects of my life so people can pick through it and see what's entertaining.
But, Phil, you know, you can call me a feminist if you want to. You can call me a feminist if you want to, both of you gentlemen. That's fine. That's not what my voice is not what it's about. My voice is not what it's about.
And a creep in my terms, if you guys want to... If you want to get down to it, I don't feel comfortable talking to you. I'll call you a doctor, but you sort of creep me out.
Well, you know, I haven't said one thing offensive other than the fact that my voice sounds funny, and you're offending me. I mean, okay, Dustin, I don't like the fact that your name's Dustin. It sounds gay.
Okay, so what's the point?
Well, hold on for a minute. Why, you know, yeah, it's got a fruit's name.
Even if I was gay, I mean, why would that matter?
You got the name of a fruit. Well, why does it matter if I have a voice that maybe make you
you're asking someone to open up to you, which
right,
exactly. You know,
You sound like a guy that in high school they wanted you to talk. How old were you when your mother died?
22.
Okay, Dustin. Your mother died 22. You were still in high school at 22? Wow.
He didn't say that.
No, I never said that. You asked how old
No, he did not. You said if he was in high school, he would talk to a counselor.
Oh, he said... Who said that he was in high school? I thought that's what he said.
No.
No, you asked something about high school, and then you asked how old I was, and I told you how old I was, and everyone said I was in high school.
Well, if your mother had committed suicide while you were in high school, they would have had you talk to a school counselor, okay?
Okay, this is what you're
not getting. Well, now, hold on for a minute. Let's say that when you talk to the school counselor to help you through a crisis, they happen to have a speech impediment. Are you going to go, I don't want to talk to them? No. You'll suffer through it to see if you can glean some truth.
Huh?
Well, because, you know, I have insurance.
Not really.
I can go see my own counselors.
How many have you got?
All right. Dustin, thank you, and thanks for sharing that about your mom. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL.
You know, what you didn't do there, Phil, you gave me the opportunity. I wanted to ask the young man. You know, if you're in pain... If you're in real pain, you're gonna talk to someone, regardless. And you calling me a feminist?
That was insensitive, and we still haven't gotten to the point of what, you know, how your friend died.
Let me tell both of you guys something, okay?
What?
When I was in high school, we had a counselor, and I don't want to say his name, but this guy was he. This is how he talked. Listen. Now, I'm not saying that he was gay. I'm just saying that this is how he talked. Mr. Hendry, what is the... Okay?
Oh, so you're being homophobic.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you, when I was a 15-year-old kid in high school, this was one of the guys that they would tell us to go and talk to for counseling. And it was... I couldn't do it.
Well, is that because you were homophobic?
I just got done saying, no, I was... Homophobic... You're 15 years old, and it's 1968... Homophobic, I wouldn't call myself. I would call myself an average kid at the age of 15 in 1968.
So it meant that any guy that sounded like that...
Or you, Dr. Sadler, to be perfectly honest with you.
All right, well, that may be true, but you haven't grown past it. Here it is, 2012, and you're still the same mentality of what you was in 1968. And to me, that's a red flag.
I'm sorry, what was it?
It's a red flag. It's a bag. No, I said. Oh, my God. It's a wet flag. Wet flam.
A wet flam.
Are both of you guys brain dead? I said red flag.
Oh, a red flag.
Yes.
I didn't understand what you were saying.
Oh, you know what? Both of you can go to... I got an idea for you, all right? If you read Dante's Inferno, he speaks of a 12th ring. A 12th ring.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, isn't that nice?
The 12th ring of hell?
Right. Why don't the two of you book passage immediately for the 12th ring?
And where do we go?
I'm sure, and I'll shut up.
Oh, God. We'll be right back. David G. Hall is... hold on for a minute. David, are you still there?
Hey, I'm here.
I book passage to the 12th ring.
I don't know, but I think what happened was is you blew him off the line because he was offended by how you described him sounding effeminate.
Well, I don't like opening up to some people if they sound weird. You know, and I didn't say he sounded effeminate. I just...
Yes, you did say that.
All right, I apologize. He sounded strange. I can't open up to a guy like that. And there's no way that you're going to get me to tell you about the suicide of my dear friend on the air for the kicks and the salacious interest, maybe not so much salacious as just the ghoulish interest of certain people in the audience.
So what you're doing is you're calling your audience ghoulish.
No, I'm certain people, I said. Certain people. I think that we've talked enough about it.
Well, I've got a couple of more people I want to talk to you. I don't know if you want to or not. We got Dr. Ron Turner. And some people really feel strongly about you getting this off your chest.
There's nothing on my chest, okay? There's nothing on my chest. Take, you know, hold on. 877-876-7445. You know, the biggest mistake I made this hour was even bringing it up. I was going to start with something else, but I mentioned our memorial poker tournament for my friend Paul, who died in 2007, and now I got a whole thing about it. Why don't you open up, Phil? All right, we'll be right back here. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. David G. Hall on the line with us, Dr. Ron Turner joining us. I haven't had so many people concerned about me.
Well, Phil, I'm not so much concerned about you. David wanted me to call and ask you about your friend, and I understand your friend passed on.
Well, my friend committed suicide a number of years ago, but we just had a memorial poker tournament for him.
Okay, and what was David? What?
I think that we need Phil to talk more specifically about. I thought you agreed with me.
You thought I agreed with you? I didn't even know what it was.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. I need to talk to you off the air about it.
You need to talk to me. All right, he's going to talk to me off the air, bud.
You didn't let Dr. Turner in on what we're talking about. No wonder he's going to be a little bit shy about it, okay?
I talked to him about it. He just suddenly got uncomfortable.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Casey. Casey, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here. Go ahead.
Well, your advisor who told you that women would be interested in your describing your personal feelings about it, deeply personal experience is wrong. This woman respects the fact that you have the integrity to fight for your rights to privacy of those feelings. I'm sick of people spilling all of their feelings all over the place, all of the time.
This is David G. Hall. I'm the advisor you're speaking of, and you know as well as I do that women enjoy hearing things that are very private.
Well, I don't know what women you know, but I can tell you that as far as I and my friends are concerned, we exercise a great deal of discretion even in dealing with each other, much less publicly broadcasting our feelings.
Well, I don't mean... I understand that women are very private when it comes to certain, for instance, sexual things, but we're talking about suicide.
That's not the only thing you're private about. No.
We're talking about suicide and the details.
Yes, and this man is... And Phil is entitled to his feelings and to his privacy about those feelings. He doesn't have to spill his guts in front of the entire world.
I mean, because what we're talking about here, Casey, thank you for taking my side.
Can I just finish with the lady, Phil, because I know you want to talk to her.
Well, I'm thanking her for understanding.
Yeah, you're thanking her for understanding, but what you're doing is you're cutting your own throat, you see?
How am I cutting my own throat?
By not...
Well,
why did you find that funny? I'm curious. Why did you find that funny?
I've never called Phil before. So
no, I'm saying Phil's cutting his own throat because...
It was not his friend's suicide. It was your insistence on his exposing his private feelings. So there.
But women want to hear that. And
well, I don't know. As I said, I don't know what women you know, but
well, you know as well as I
know, and I know a lot of them.
Have you ever watched The View? Have you ever watched The View? There you go. I rest my case.
Yes, I watched The View.
I rest my case. Those women will talk about men committing suicide until the cows come home. They don't seem to have
I never heard them talk about anybody committing suicide, except Whitney Houston.
Well, I thought Barbara Walters, there you go, there's a great example. Barbara Walters got into the gruesome, gory details of what the coroner photographs looked like, and they all clucked away drinking their coffee.
When was this?
That's the people
on the view.
That's not the people watching them. That's not your everyday run-of-the-mill woman who lives a life, runs her house, runs her business, and tries not to run her mouth.
What about the women that wanted to know about how O.J. killed his wife?
Well, you know, you can talk about anything. I don't think that that's
O.J.
just women.
O.J. killed
there's...
his wife?
Exactly.
Is there anybody in the world
wanted to know all about
know how he did it?
Well, but the women are the ones that drove it. They wanted to know all about the head getting... Well, you can laugh.
What do you mean the women? That's what I'm having a hard time with. I can understand that the human race itself can be very macabre and obsessed with things, you know.
Okay. The point that I'm trying to make here is that talk radio is dying because all anybody talks about is Obama. Now you come along with a friend that killed himself. And you won't go and tell anybody.
And I think you're a male. You sound
it.
Male anyway. And I think it's you who's curious about
the
what
guy,
happened.
I already know.
And you're trying to say that it's women who are curious.
Wait a minute, David. David, don't say it.
No, this lady's curious. I already know. Do you want to know? Ma'am?
Don't say it.
Do you want to know how the guy died? Because I already know.
No, I don't.
Don't say it.
No, I
you're
don't.
Sure?
I respect Phil's right
to privacy. How about if I tell you off the air?
No, I don't. You know, you're just trying to prove a point.
It does. What does it matter? I didn't know that.
Because
the
you want to know. You want to know.
David.
I'm sorry that anybody has agonized to that point.
I'm asking Mr. Henry. I'm directing Mr. Henry now to tell you how his friend killed himself. Do it, Henry.
No, I won't.
No.
I'm telling you to do it.
I'm not doing
hang
it.
Up if anybody even suggests
it
that.
It doesn't matter, because when you hang up, you'll turn your radio up because you want to hear it.
Well, I won't do it. She can turn her radio up all she wants.
If I threaten, I'll fire you.
You go right ahead and fire me. You can't fire me anyway.
I'll sue you.
You can sue me. I won't say how my friend died. I will not do it. It doesn't matter what you do.
God! Why won't you do it?
Who hung up?
Because
I didn't hang up. I'm asking this guy why he won't do it.
Because I'm not that desperate. There's certain things I won't do. I ain't going to do it. I ain't telling anybody how he died. They know enough. He committed suicide. That's it.
Well, would you please?
That's heartbreaking enough.
Please! What? You still on? What do you got her on the air for? She said no. She didn't want to know about it. She's got to turn the radio up. You know she's going to listen. You know and you won't say anything about it. Are you laughing at me? Now you're laughing at me.
Yes, you sound like a foaming idiot.
I want to tell you, you know something, lady? I'm working here. I don't know what you're doing. I'm working. I'm trying to get something going
well,
here.
I'm lucky enough that I don't have to work.
Okay, what husband died?
All right, that's enough. Thank you.
I'm just asking you how much your husband left you.
It was nice.
Thank you very much. Nice talking with you. Thank you.
Did your husband leave you? What did he? You're not even doing any fun. See, so there's a guy who died because she probably drove him. Talk about suicide. And
thank you very much, David. And thank you very much for threatening to tell everybody how my friend died.
I don't know how he died. I just thought that I would.
You don't know?
No. You ever said?
Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, I said it as recently as the show on Friday.
And why would you say it now?
Because I don't like you coming on my program and telling me, okay? And what you said about that lady.
Oh, here, ladies and gentlemen, here's where Phil Henry becomes the benefactor of the whole human race.
Oh, what you said about that lady.
You know something, you know as well as I do, you don't care.
Yes, I do care, talking about her husband dying and leaving her all kinds of money.
I said he committed suicide. But I'll tell you this, but...
Why would you insult somebody who wants to defend me? See, that's the whole point. They wanted to defend my point of view. I won't say it, and we're done talking about Paul, okay?
You got it on your website, and you won't...
Yeah. Why are you crying?
Because we need...
The audience? Well, there you go.
So you're willing to cut your own throat? And in the...
Would you hang up on him when I give you this?
Yeah, it means cutting the throat.
That doesn't mean I'm willing to really cut my own throat, and you don't have to tell him. I mean, cut the phone call, bud. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your concern, and we did hear from an awful lot of you off the air, and we had a very nice time, and no, I'm not coming on the air and talking about this, and we burned up a whole hour, and that's where that's at. And I hope you never have to go through it in your life. I really, truly hope you never get a phone call that says, you know, that happened to a friend of yours. We'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Are you missing your dog? Some people are using Skype. That's right. Vernon Dozier to join us in the next hour on Skype and the dogs, and Larry Grover on the local airport security after Al-Qaeda's underwear bomber number two is busted by the gendarmes. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.